Hi, this is Rod Murray, and you're listening to my Pulse podcast. This is a podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts to enhance their teaching and learning. Here at Thomas Jefferson University, we use Blackboard software for a portal and course management system. Since we call Blackboard here Pulse, that's why I've named it Rod's Pulse podcast. First, I guess a caveat for the Jefferson folks. Jefferson doesn't officially support podcasting, but it's something you can actually do on your own. My full investment financially in this podcasting scheme so far has been about $50 to buy some software, which I'll talk about later, called Cast Blaster. Something else you should know is that I have some show notes to go along with each show, and they're posted on my blog. You can get to that blog by going to Rod4Jefferson, that's R-O-D, the number 4, Jefferson.blogspot.com. And that's a free service that anybody can use to blog. And a few things you have to know to turn that blog into a podcast, but that's the purpose of this podcast, the series anyway. I would really like to get your feedback, so please send it to me either via email at rodney.murray@jefferson.edu, or use the comment feature on the blog. I'd prefer not to post my email address on the actual blog because I don't want to attract any more spam and junk mail. First, let me tell you what I'll be talking about today. I'm going to aim for about 30 minutes. We'll see how it goes. I like to minimize any post-production, so you know you're going to hear some clicks and errors and some weird sounds, but hopefully I'll get through it without too much trouble here, and we'll take it from there. I'd like to say a little bit about how I discovered podcasting, and one of the early, a little bit about the early pioneer in podcasting, the so-called Podfather, Adam Curry. I'll be giving you some information about how to find your own podcast, because you're going to want to listen to other podcasts, especially educational podcasts, to see how you can work on your own. I'm also going to talk about how to subscribe to a podcast through a couple different mechanisms, and the difference between merely posting an MP3 file, which is the music format file, on a website, the difference between that and actually doing a podcast. And last, I'm going to be playing a promotional clip from a podcast that you might be interested in called Podcast 411. Anyway, let's move on. First, how I discovered podcasting. I take the train to work every day. It's about 45 minutes, sometimes less, and for several years I was taking my CD player that had built-in FM tuner, and I would listen to NPR or some radio program, until the Frankfurt L went underground into the subway, and I lost that signal, and I would play some music on my CD player. I thought there must be a better way. I like to continue to hear news, and I like to switch over. Instead of carrying a bulky CD player, I like to use my MP3 player, which is built into my cell phone. I happen to use a Handspring Trio 600 cell phone, which also has music playing software. You can load your MP3 files on there. At one point, I looked into audiobooks. As you know, you probably know, they allow you to download audio files. It's a proprietary format, and it's pretty costly if you want to listen to a whole novel, but it's not really what I had in mind. I wanted to hear news, and I wanted it free. So one day, I guess it was about a year and a half ago, I did a search on Google for free MP3s or something like that, and I ran across a term called podcasting. I thought, well, that sounds interesting. I'd never heard that before. And before I knew it, I was listening to a podcast called The Daily Source Code with Adam Curry. Now, those of you probably in my generation, or probably younger, may remember music videos first came on the scene, and MTV was gaining in popularity. One of the first video jockeys was Adam Curry. And he worked, I guess, for MTV for a couple of years, but then started doing his own things, and He was sort of silent there for a couple of years and had different business ventures during the dot-com bust and so forth. But he must have made out pretty well. And I'm not sure exactly who coined the term, but he was the one that really started promoting the idea of podcasting. And if you listen to my podcast, Rod's Pulse Podcast number one, you got the definition. And he started promoting it. He called his first podcast the Daily Source Code because, as computer programmers know, source code is the source of computer software code that's used to do various things. And he was promoting various kinds of production of various kinds of software and really getting some volunteers and finding people who could do this software development for him. And it's turned into a business for him, and he has a very entertaining program. Of course, it's probably more interesting to techies, although he mixes technology with music because of his background, and plays a couple of tunes every podcast. Anyway, that was about a year and a half ago. If you did a search on Google for podcasts, you might have gotten, maybe 100 hits or so. Probably half of them had Adam Curry's name attached to it. And there are maybe 50 podcasts. And now, if you go and do a search on some directories, which I'll tell you about, there must be thousands of podcasts now. Anything you can imagine, any subject matter. And it's catching on in the educational community. Like a lot of educational technology, it starts as a consumer entertainment device. I'm sure I can remember the days when video discs came out. They were pretty much a bust for consumer entertainment, but they were used for quite a number of years. In fact, when I first came to Jefferson, we developed educational programs using video disc. Videotapes, CD-ROMs, you name it. They all started as consumer entertainment media and eventually work their way into education. That's what's happening now with podcasts. For the geeks out there, some say now that podcasting is sort of like the Usenet, and who the heck wants to hear those people? That's one of the little features you can add a little audio interest and commentary to your podcasts. So you're going to want to find your own podcasts. There are a number of directories out there. One of the first ones, which was influenced by Adam Curry, is www.podcastalley.com. So, by the way, that's why we have show notes. I'll have all the URLs for you on the blog, so you don't have to note this down. You can go to the blog and find these links. Another one is PodcastNet, www.podcast.net. There's another called Podcasting News, www.podcastingnews.com. And most of you probably heard about iTunes. Apple actually had little to do with the inventing of podcasting, although, in fact, the name podcasting is probably a bit unfortunate, as I mentioned in my first podcast, because you don't need an iPod. You don't even need an MP3 player. You can just listen to podcasts directly from your computer, clicking on an MP3 file link. But, of course, that has the most utility if you can download the podcast to your MP3 player and take it with you jogging, driving, and so forth. So Apple was sort of actually a latecomer into this. They had their iTunes Music Store, and it was a pretty small leap to go from that to having a directory for podcasts. So if you've downloaded one of the latest iTunes applications, which, by the way, is cross-platform. You can download that on your Mac or PC. It works equally as well to subscribe to podcasts. So Apple has their own directory. You can put in whatever you're interested in, medicine, education, and see a list of podcasts to subscribe to. Now, every time you fire up your computer then and fire up iTunes on your computer, it will check all your subscriptions, see if there's any new MP3 files out there, any new podcasts, and it will automatically download in the background to your hard drive. And then if you have an iPod, you can sync up the MP3 files to your iPod and take them with you. It's a bit more complicated when talking about trying to get the MP3 files to a non-iPod, and I'm going to save that for another podcast because it is a bit more complicated. On the Windows side, Windows users are pretty much used to taking a few more steps to do things compared to Mac users. So that shouldn't be a surprise. It'll get easier as we go on. So you can find this, you can subscribe to this podcast if you're not already subscribed. You can go to iTunes. There's a link on the blog. It's www.apple.com/iTunes. And if you search for Rod's Pulse Podcast, a screen will come up, and you can click on the subscribe button. So there's also on the blog a direct link. You click on a button, and it sort of makes it a one-click step to subscribe using iTunes. If you don't have iTunes, you don't care about iTunes, you're a PC person, or even a Mac person for that matter, there are other so-called pod catchers out there. This is software that you download. There are a lot of free ones. One that I particularly like, again, it was a outcome of Adam Curry's work in the Daily Source Code and his contacts. A company was formed, and they came out with a product that was originally called iPodder. Now they just changed the name to Juice. So if you do a search for Juice Podcast on Google, you'll find it. And I have a link on my blog which allows you to click a button and subscribe to this podcast via Juice or other podcatchers that you may have installed. There are direct links on the blog to download Juice and to download iTunes, for that matter, if you don't have iTunes. Each system has their pros and cons. Juice is a little more flexible for Windows users and works a little better for downloading the eventual podcast, I should say, to your MP3 player. But we'll cover that in more detail at another time. Now, for Jefferson users, you don't need any of this software because Pulse is already subscribing to my podcast. So you can get to the podcast by going to logging into Pulse, going to My Pulse, going to Modify Content. That's that little button in the upper right-hand corner. And scroll down, you'll see a line for Rod's Pulse Podcast. Just check that, submit. And you'll see a module pop up on your MyPulse page, and it will give you the links to the blog and to actually play the podcast immediately by clicking on the play link. So that's probably the easiest way to subscribe if you're a Pulse user. Okay, a bit about the difference between online MP3 files versus podcasts. Jefferson students actually have been recording lectures for some time, for a couple of, I guess, maybe a year, year and a half so far. Those at Jefferson know me know I give a lecture in pharmacokinetics to second-year medical students, and it used to be, several people in the audience, the students, would have their tape recorders, and then eventually one student from the note-taking service would have a tape recorder, and lately it's been a digital recorder that they sit on the podium. The problem with that is that it's not very good sound quality, and it's a bit painful to listen to. I'm going to play you a little clip from the MP3 file that was downloaded that the students recorded this past August.
But the very first pharmacology lab that I remember was very high tech. We were asked to bring in an aspirin from home. In my case, since I was a pharmacology graduate student, I went to the pharmacology department office and got an aspirin out of their cabinet. And we had stopwatches, and we had a rack of test tubes, and we dropped the tablet into a test tube full of what mimics stomach acid, the same pH as in the stomach. And we had a stopwatch, and we were there to see how long it was going to take this tablet to disintegrate and to go into solution. Well, the reason this sticks to my mind is because my tablet that I chose stayed like a rock at the bottom of the test tube. This tablet never would have become bioavailable unless you crushed it up mechanically. So that certainly drove home this idea that the tablet has to become bioavailable. And I guess the second lesson learned here was that the Temple Hospital in that case shouldn't have taken the lowest bid when they bought their aspirin.
So anyway, you can sort of get the idea that the sound quality seems to go in and out. It's not recorded professionally, and it's recorded with a consumer MP3 recorder, which is probably not the best. It may not record with the highest sampling rate, and the students, to be honest, they don't have the time to fiddle with this. They don't edit it, so you're going to run into a lot of noise, and until the class settles down. And so it's a bit painful to listen to. I'd be interested to find out how many students actually do listen to it. But nonetheless, I think it's a good idea for students who didn't make it to lecture and need to catch up, and they want to use the audio feed from lectures to supplement their note taking and obviously listen to the lecture if they've missed it. So Jefferson doesn't support podcasting yet, but it's my hope that with some new technology, especially as prices come down, that we can make it easier for students to record these the lecture material and turn them into podcasts maybe in some time in the not too distant future. Make it a little easier for people to use them. Of course, you have to be concerned about the security and access issues. We don't want the general public necessarily to hear these lectures. It should be restricted to students. But like in everything else in terms of copyright, once the student gets the content, they can certainly leak it. Not a good idea, but that's the world we live in. Interestingly, when I was looking at iTunes, trying to find some educational podcasts that might be of interest, I did a search for Thomas Jefferson University, and lo and behold, I'm not the first podcaster here at Jefferson. The emergency medicine department has half a dozen, I think, different lectures that they have put up as podcasts, and you can subscribe to them through iTunes. I'm not sure if they've have a feed that can be subscribed to in other ways, but anyway, I thought I'd play just a bit of that to give you another sample for the kind of information and podcasts that are already out there. So here we go. This is a lecture given to residents, emergency medicine residents, and it happens to be about seizures.
All right, let's get started.
Thank you. Thank you, please. Next 45 minutes or so, I'm going to talk about seizing, mostly in adults, rather than pediatric seizures, which is a whole other topic. Next slide, please. Seizures are common. You're all probably pretty aware of that by now. Lifetime incidence of epilepsy is 3% and 150,000 new epilepsy diagnoses each year.
So you can get the idea. The audio quality is a bit better. I think the faculty lecturer was probably either holding the mic or had the mic in a better position. The lecture that you heard that I gave to the students, where I like to walk around and I didn't have a mic, strapped to my head like a rock singer, so the sound level went in and out. But anyway, you get the idea. And so other folks here are doing it at Jefferson, are creating their own podcasts, and this may be some impetus for other faculty to get started and also for students to see what's out there in terms of educational material. I guess that pretty much brings me to the end of my little podcast today. I think I wanted to leave you with a promo of Podcast 411. They happen to interview other podcasters, and so it's a good way to learn about some of the tips and tricks about podcasting. And remember, I appreciate your feedback, either via email or using the comment button on my blog. Let me know if you want more technology, less technology, more, you know, different kinds of content, or if you have questions. In fact, if you can send me an audio feedback, I'd be glad to play your audio question, and that might be a fun way to get your feet wet in doing some recordings. You don't need anything fancy if you have a microphone attached to your computer. You can use the Sound Recorder application, which comes free with every Windows machine, and I'm sure there's something equivalent on the Mac. Record your sound file, save it as MP3, and either if you have the access, you can post it to a web server and send me the link, or just if it's not too long, just go ahead and send me the MP3 file via email. So look for another podcast in the next week or so, and again, I'm going to leave you with this podcast promo for Podcast 411. Goodbye for now.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Hey, here's a magic message. Read it and pass it on.
From tech news to interviews, Rob from Podcast411.com has been called the Terry Gross of podcasting.
And talking of today, why don't we go ahead and get into this interview now with CC Chapman. Here we go.
We're going to go ahead now and get into the interview with Scott from Earthcore Podcast.
Chris Rockwell for the Daily Download. On today's show, very excited to have as our guest, none other than the Podfather himself, Adam Curry. Well, that concludes our interview with Walt and Katie from the Wall Street Journal.
The best place to find new podcasts and insights from podcast pioneers, podcast411.com.
Hey, here's a magic message. Read it and pass it on.